The story I had leading into you was a story from a couple months ago, but scientists are convinced that there's a comet that comes around and plays havoc with the planet. Could this be like a Planet X that people have been talking about?
In my opinion, it could be. And now, understand, I'm not a professional astronomer. I'm what's called an amateur because I don't get paid for the research I do. But it doesn't impair my ability to reason and to set up equations and see what's happening out there. Comets or comet-like bodies don't have to be dirty snowballs. That's becoming patently obvious in the current research and publishings at NASA and various other leading astronomical facilities. The comets have what's called either a parabolic, a hyperbolic, or an elliptical orbit. And basically what that means is kind of an egg-shaped orbit where it comes very close to the sun and then whips way out at an extreme angle to the equator of the sun, way, way, way out there, and then finally slows down and then races back around with some period of 75 or 100 or maybe in this case 3 or 4,000 years. So in my opinion, it could be any kind of a body out there, and there is something close right now, say in the last 50 years is now in my terms, that has been perturbing or disturbing the orbits of Neptune and the next planet in, which is Uranus, two big planets, part of what they call the Jovian or big planet. Mm-hmm. And they can't find out what it is. It's certainly not Pluto because it's like a gnat compared to the mass of Neptune and Jupiter, and Pluto is just occasionally swings by Jupiter every 250 years or so. So, yes, the comet thing they're looking for, this Planet X thing, the unknown thing they're looking for, is not necessarily the one of the Mayan 2012 prophecies and all that kind of stuff. And by the way, that 2012 date's been moved out now maybe 100 to 200 years because of an error they found in the translation of the Mayan calendar. That's in the news stories today on our website.
Okay.
Holly digs this stuff up. I don't know where she gets it, but I wake up in the morning to surprise every day. Anyway, now, these comets, because of that egg-shaped orbit, they're not orbiting with the sun kind of at the center of where they're spinning. The sun is at one of the extreme parts of their orbit. And when the comets or these comet-like bodies are way out there away from us at their furthest point, they're moving slower. And as they get closer and closer and closer and closer, you remember the days when we used to play something called tetherball, where you had a ball tied to a rope and you hit it around a pole?
Yeah, and it went around faster and faster.
That's right. The closer it got to the pole, you know, as you're winding it up, the faster it went.
Went like crazy. That's right.
Okay, well, this is what happens to comets and other bodies that move into these elliptical, these long egg-shaped orbits toward the sun. Now, because they're at an angle, they're not kind of in the general plane of where all the other planets orbit, they can dive down through other orbits of planets as they approach the sun. Now, this one, this Planet X that we're looking at, I thought, well, all right, you know, let's put the equations into the computer and work out a solution and see, you know, approximately what characteristics and location and speed would this thing have, no matter what its mass is, to, you know, have a 36 to 3800 year cycle and come be heading for us right now.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of doing this, I had to set up some horrific numerical analysis programs using a Microsoft Excel program and Solver, which lets you solve three or four different sets of equations simultaneously to get, you know, the ultimate solution. And if this thing is truly around a 3,600-year orbit and it's coming close now, then it's approximately 11 to 15 times the distance of Earth from the sun. It's that far away from us somewhere. And coming in at an angle of about 24 to 30 degrees above the plane of all the other planets. So that means that the next 3.5 years or so, this thing is moving at half the speed the Earth is right now. It could be right into the asteroid belt or even to our orbit or to Venus's orbit.
Why can't we find it? Why can't we see it?
Well, there are a number of reasons, and I'm not too sure that we have in the private sector the astronomical equipment, you know, the money spent in it, to allow amateurs to see infrared and various other things that could be masking it. But like a snowball or like a comet that gets in and is outgassing, that you can see the tail blowing out and that kind of stuff, and it catches light, and you can pick that up on your telescopes and your digital imaging systems. But if it is a brown dwarf, if it is a planet that is dirty and no ice on it, and it's not high reflectivity, you know, high albedo, it's just dull, then you're not going to see it till it gets close enough that the light can be picked up by, you know, amateur equipment. So, and the other thing is, space, as Carl Sagan say, is an awful big place.
That's right.
You can't, unless you give the astronomers a little bit of a hint, this section of space, look here, they have gotten millions of stars and things to plot to try to find this thing you're talking about, and there's a lot of other moving things out there that might confuse the issue, which are giving out light that you can see. So this is why I took the effort here to set up the equations and start trying to put in data I'm getting from the news and various other research facilities at the moment to try to narrow the part of space you got to look at. And so that's what I've done here, and I'm going to release it in hard printed data and the equation and everything in a part two of my papers I've been writing on the nature of space and gravity, electricity, and magnetism. I'm going with the electric fluid space theory instead of, you know, mystical gravity and that kind of stuff.
Right.
I prove it with equations and with tests that people can do at home to show how electricity influences gravity and that kind of stuff. It's just really... I'm having a great time doing this because I'm just discovering one thing after another.
You mentioned something that Zechariah Sitchin has written about, which now I find to be fascinating. And you said 3,600-year orbit, which is exactly what he said about Nibiru. That number, how did you come up with that number?
It's weird. When I solved the equation to tell me exactly where planets need to orbit around the sun to have a stable orbit.
Mm-hmm.
People have been trying to do this since 1715. And in 1772 or something like that, a guy named Johann Bode, B-O-D-E, developed what he called Bode's Law of determining where planets had to be, you know, by this just a simple arithmetic progression, you know, like 2, 4, 8, that kind of stuff. But it's a little bit more complicated than that, but not much. And his theory was great until Neptune and Pluto came along, and his progression, you know, his equation fell all apart, and he didn't realize that Neptune and Pluto were there. But he accurately predicted, Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, the asteroid belt, Jupiter, Saturn. He got all those inner planets like that within an era of less than 4% on most of them. Now, when it came to Neptune and Pluto, though, I mean, he missed Pluto completely, like 95% wrong, and Neptune, he was like 30% off the orbit. But I have refined this concept and set up a progression, and I found empty orbits, not occupied by planets or moons or anything right now, empty orbits around the sun, one between Venus and Mercury, one between Jupiter and Saturn, and between Jupiter and asteroids. There's like 6 empty orbits I found in our known plotted solar system. And my error rate is less than his in the inner planets, and it is like 36% versus 140% error, 46% error that he had. So I'm absolutely tickled by this because it allows me to expand the orbital rings out from the sun further than we ever have. And I find that at around 72 to 74 times the distance of Earth, there is an empty ring out there. It's beyond the Kuiper Belt. But that's where Pioneer 10 started to slow down, and they said there's some mysterious gravitational force we don't know about that's slowing Pioneer 10 down.
That's right.
And it's at exactly where this ring should be.
That's amazing. Now, is it possible that what you're talking about and what Zechariah Sitchin has written about might be one and the same?
Absolutely. I wasn't too sold on this Nibiru theory when I started all this, but when I saw these figures coming out spot on, I thought, well, okay, suppose Sitchin was right, you know, 3,600-year orbit, okay. Where would that planet have to orbit and what speed and that kind of stuff to satisfy that? And lo and behold, it's one of the rings out at 250 times the distance of Earth from the sun, and it's there. And Yeah, it's at an angle inclined about 24 to 30 degrees. That's the orbit that's predicted by this equation.